Hi, everybody. Welcome to Eagles 360. Dave Spadaro, Chris McPherson, our final show before Christmas. So Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you. Merry Christmas, Chris.
Same to you, Spuds.
Lots to get to today as the Eagles get ready for the New York Giants players back at the Novacare Complex on the practice field preparing for the final game of this 2014 season. We'll hear from head coach Chip Kelly. A recap also of Fantasy Football 2014. Congratulations to anybody who's a winner out there. And then this guy goes behind enemy lines with Bob Papa from the New York Giants radio network, who is having a good time with Odell Beckham Jr., I'm sure.
Yes, he is. We'll find out all about that and a lot more, including the future of one head coach, Tom Coughlin.
Oh, a little conversation about a former Eagles assistant coach. You know that?
Yes.
First things first, though, let's go to the practice field. Bo Wolf, our Eagles 360 update, presented by Sports Authority.
Thanks, guys. And of course, while we are left to sit here wondering how it is the Eagles got to this point out of the playoffs despite being 9-3 just 3 weeks ago, there is a simple answer, and that answer is turnovers. Plenty of guys talked about it today, from the coaches to the players. 35 turnovers leads the league, and when that happens, you just cannot say that you deserve to be in the playoffs.
Well, I think it happens. You know, sometimes it happens in bunches. We've all coached on teams where we did not have many turnovers. And then we've coached on ones where, you know, it's happened. And, you know, that's the little thing that you just keep going back to. We look at each play that involves a turnover, and there are reasons why it happens. And we just got to do a better job of whoever has the ball in their hands, as I mentioned, has got to secure it.
I just, you know, like I said, when you talk about the single stat, everybody's a stat guy here, talk about the single stat that defines losing and winning, it's turnovers. It's turnover margin. So it's really hard to win when you have, when you're negative in a turnover margin. So we got to get it fixed. You know, last year we barely turned the ball over, hence why they were able to go on that run and you know, win some games down the stretch. So,
man, if I could have just done this one thing and would have saved that from this and this whole domino effect or whatever it was. But every guy in the locker room feels like that, and that's why I think we have such a competitive team and a team that was in position and unfortunately just, you know, missed an opportunity.
But as we do move forward, of course, Chip Kelly has said there is one more game to go. You're going to line us up. We are going to fight. So what happens here on Sunday as the Eagles go up against the New York Giants? For the defense, the big question, who starts at cornerback? Bradley Fletcher pulled in favor of Nolan Carroll against Washington. He still could start on Sunday. So could Nolan Carroll. So could Brandon Boykin, according to defensive coordinator Bill Davis.
We got Brandon Boykin. You got Nolan. You got all of them. So all of them are in the mix. Like they always have been, though. We always rep it out that way.
But you never Brandon outside to them.
Not in the game we haven't, no. Part of the reason, a lot of times you have four corners that are up on game day. So when I go to dime package, they're all in.
No, what I'm asking is, there is a chance Brandon could start outside?
Yeah.
A chance.
A chance, but again, a lot of times all the corners we have are out there on the field at the same time, so therefore we need the nickel and dime spots.
Eagles 360 returns on Friday. For now, that will do it for your 360 update presented by Sports Authority. Happy holidays to all of you.
Thanks, Bo. In just a little bit, I'll go behind enemy lines with Bob Papa, the voice of the New York Football Giants, and I know fans are fixated on what's going to happen in the future, but head coach Chip Kelly is focused on one thing, and that's beating those Giants.
Yeah, and he comes into studio in just a moment here. We're going to talk about the Giants, some Eagles progress, and then some players who might be picked to the Pro Bowl that team announced tonight. All of that, a whole lot more coming your way on Eagles 360 in just one moment.
Hi, my name is Jim Taylor. I've been with Acme for 34 years. Our Lancaster brand beef is the best around. We cut our meat fresh every day. We actually have customers come from other stores just for our meat.
Freshness is our number one priority. No one beats our fresh fish.
We have the freshest apples, the crispiest lettuce. Fresh produce is what we do.
We do the best cake decorating in the area, hands down.
123 years strong. Come on in, you'll see the changes, you'll feel it, you'll love it.
Oh! Philly.
I step the Philly.
You step the Philly?
The bus.
The trolley.
The train.
Route 124.
Route 23.
I step the Philly. The 17 to training.
Jenkintown.
To her house.
His house.
To Betsy's house.
City Hall.
FTC.
Delco. Media.
To work.
To school.
To the mall.
Abuelas.
Broad Street.
To the game.
I step to Philly.
Anywhere.
We welcome you into the studio, our exclusive one-on-one with head coach Chip Kelly. And the focus, of course, is on the New York Giants this week, a team that looks dramatically different than the team you played in October. What's changed with that football team?
Well, you know, I said going into the last time we played them that Odell Beckham was one of the really good receivers in the league, and I don't think anybody, not everybody had seen him yet, you know, and because he missed the first four games of the year, but he's really come on like gangbusters. He's given them an added jolt on the offensive side of the ball. Ben McAdoo is doing a great job with their offense. You know, I think Eli last week was 25 of 32 throwing it. I think they're more comfortable in their new system offensively. And then they got a bunch of guys defensively, starting with Jason Pierre-Paul, defensive end, playing really, really well. So it's going to be a typical New York Giants, Philadelphia Eagles football game on Sunday.
Their new system with McAdoo, all the reports were short passing game and move the chains. And is that what they're doing? I mean, do you see them playing faster?
I laugh at that stuff. I don't think anybody just has one short passing game and never throws the ball deep. You know, right. I think they're very efficient in what they do. They've got good receivers and they got an outstanding quarterback that's won two Super Bowls. And they'll throw the ball deep on you. They'll throw the ball short on you. They'll throw the ball a lot. But there's a lot of timing throws involved in it, but they're going to throw it deep and short. And I think he was, again, 25 of 32 for almost 400 yards last week, so they're throwing it all over the place.
What makes Beckham so good?
He's just a very, you know, when you saw him coming out in the draft, he's extremely talented. He's got outstanding hands, but great ability to run after the catch, great body control in terms of being able to go get balls that aren't thrown, you know, that are going to hit him right in stride. He can adjust to the football. You know, he's got everything you're looking for, you know, in a wideout. He's explosive. He's fast. He's got great hands. He's got great range. He's a highly competitive guy. So, you know, in a class of very talented receivers, he's one of the really, really good ones and maybe at the top of it right now.
Which is a good segue to the next question. It had been kind of the case for years that rookie receivers didn't make these huge impacts in the NFL. Is this group just a special class? Is it the emphasis on the rules? I mean, rookies are coming into the league and really making an impact at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, we thought it was a good class going in. I didn't think that the draft overall was a great draft overall, but I thought we all thought at the wide receiver spot with, you know, with Watkins and Evans and obviously Odell, Jordan with us. You know, I think a lot of guys have made impacts on their football team. But I think that's a lot of it becomes a trickle-up effect. They're throwing the ball a lot more at the college level. There's a lot more talented guys playing receiver. So it was a unique class in terms of how many players are coming in and really producing as rookies in this league.
Do receivers in college run as intricate patterns as they do in the NFL? I mean, is it pretty
sophisticated? I think so. I don't think the route combinations or what they do is different. I think the coverages they face is different. You know, very rarely do you see press man across the board because people on defense in college don't have three or four guys that can all play that. You know, they see a lot more zone. People back off in coverage than they do, I think, maybe in the National Football League. There's not as much combination coverage. So I think everybody runs posts and slants and corner routes and all the same kind of route tree that you run in college that you do in the NFL. But I really think that the coverages are a lot more sophisticated in the National Football League.
Speaking of draft classes, rookie classes, yours, some have played, some are developing between games and at the training sessions. Can you talk about what you've seen from your class in general and kind of moving forward, what you see from that group?
Yeah, I mean, there's been guys like Jordan who's really played a lot for us. Bo Allen, who's a seventh-round pick, who's played a lot for us. Josh Huff, who's getting involved in the mix. And then I think with the other guys, I think maybe sometimes it's unfair for them, is that, you know, right now the best players play. So it doesn't mean it's not an indication of that this guy isn't a great player. It's that there's some really talented players at their position. You know, Marcus Smith is behind Connor Barwin and Trent Cole and Brandon Graham, and those are three really good football players. So, you know, I think people kind of, you know, try to look at how people fit in. But, again, everything we do here is based on competition. And on a daily basis, you have a chance to prove to us who deserves playing time, who doesn't deserve playing time. And, you know, we've had through preseason camp and through these games that we've played so far, these 15 last regular season games, to to show us what they can do, and they'll continue to develop. But I think sometimes you really can't look at a draft until, you know, 2 or 3 years down the road to kind of see what type of impact it is. You know, I think we've got an outstanding center for us who was picked in the sixth round a couple of years ago. But, you know, when you really look at the impact Jason Kelce has had on us on the offensive side of the ball, you know, we're lucky that we have him.
Do you see young players and how they react after being stars their whole life? They come into the NFL and maybe the playing time's not there. Do they react in different ways? I mean, what kind of things do you look for?
I think everybody reacts in different ways to their experiences, but I think it's no different than every step they take. You know, most of these guys weren't starters as freshmen on their high school teams, mm-hmm. you know, and then they kind of got to the top of the thing. And when they were in high school, they were the talk of the town and got recruited all over the place and then had to start back over again and went back to college. And at college, you kind of started as a freshman, and not many of them, you know, were an impact player as a freshman in high school, then an impact player as a freshman in college. You know, there's a process of going through things and kind of earning your way through it. And it's a lot like life. You know, I don't think any guy that graduates first in his class from Harvard is going to walk into Liberty Mutual and all of a sudden is the CEO of the company. They're going to start at an entry-level position and work their way up. And it's no different in the National Football League than it is in any profession.
Mark Sanchez gets his eighth start of the season on Sunday. What progress have you seen from him?
I thought he played played really, really well last week. And I think when you really look at the game itself, he was 37 of 50. I know he wants the last pass back, but we did have a protection breakdown up front. You know, and there was an unblocked guy in his face that should have been blocked the way we were supposed to pick things up. So he's kind of throwing off his back foot in that situation. But I think he's progressed. I think he's got a real good grasp of what we're doing. You know, you think of the throw he threw to Jeremy on the sideline. You know, it was a great catch by Jeremy and a great toe tap by him. But, you know, an outstanding ball. We converted some of the biggest third downs we converted all year long. We had a third and 25 we converted, third and 16 we converted. So I thought he played a real good game against the Redskins. I know he wants the last one back. I think we all want the last one back. But I think he's progressed really well so far.
Big picture question, how's the offense, in your eyes, performed this year?
There's a lot of positives. You know, I think we've scored more points as a team than we did last year. We've got more completions as a team. You know, there's a lot of positives. I think people have played us differently this year than they played us last year. A lot more off coverage, keeping the ball in front of them, which is understandable because we set a record last year. But, you know, the biggest concern for all of us is just the turnovers. And for us to be a really good football team, we need to straighten that out. But I think we're still ranked either third or fourth in the NFL in almost every offensive statistical category. But the turnovers are the things that have really set us back. And for us to be a great offense, we need to correct those things. And that's part of what this process is about. And we got to correct it. And if we're going to beat the Giants, we got to win the turnover battle.
Well, here's wishing you a Merry Christmas. No turnovers and 55 points scored against the Giants on Sunday. We thank Chip Kelly for joining us in studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Eagles win, you win.
Score a free Dunkin' Donuts medium hot or iced coffee the day after an Eagles win with the Dunkin' mobile app.
Eagles win, you win.
America runs on Dunkin'.
Dunkin' Donuts is helping more area youth get in the game through the Touchdowns for Kids program. For every Philadelphia Eagles touchdown, Dunkin' Donuts will donate $250 to Good Sports, bringing new equipment and resources to youth sports organizations in need throughout the greater Philadelphia region.
You win.
Score a free Dunkin' Donuts medium hot or iced coffee the day after an Eagles win with the Dunkin' mobile app.
Eagles win, you win.
Go Eagles! America runs on Dunkin'.
Dunkin' Donuts is helping more area youth get in the game through the Touchdowns for Kids program. For every Philadelphia Eagles touchdown, Dunkin' Donuts will donate $250 to Good Sports, bringing new equipment and resources to youth sports organizations in need throughout the greater Philadelphia region.
Section 512, row 6, seats 7 through 10. Those are our seats.
At this one time we can't be there, please treat them right.
To get there early, stay late, and yell a whole lot.
Dress warm, gloves, hats, warm boots.
Eric sits in the middle. Uncle Paul sits on the aisle.
And if you want to sit in my seat, make sure you get your ticket from the only place a fan can trust.
Buy and sell 100% verified authentic tickets with other true fans. Only on NFL Ticket Exchange. Tickets from one fan to another.
Rico and the Philadelphia Eagles are giving you the chance to win a VIP party for your office for up to 50 people at the NovaCare Complex. Enter today at PhiladelphiaEagles.com/RicoOfficeParty. Sweepstakes open to residents of Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. RICO, the official document solutions partner of the Philadelphia Eagles. We welcome you back to Eagles 360. Dave and Chris here. Did you play fantasy football this year?
I did, and I was not very good. Congratulations to Kay Tang, our social media coordinator, for winning the PhiladelphiaEagles.com Fantasy Football League.
Wow, Katie Tang getting it done. This is our final fantasy football recap here, and Bo Wolf and Joe Dolan from FantasyGuru.com talking about some of the winners and not-so-winners of the 2014 fantasy football season.
We welcome you inside the Fantasy Spin presented by Bud Light here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Bo Wolf with Joe Dolan of FantasyGuru.com. And Joe, most playoffs are over now. We move on to sort of the weekly, week-by-week leagues. Week 17, some teams maybe not playing for much, but still fantasy points to be had. Who do you like matchup-wise this week?
I'd consider going with Teddy Bridgewater and Charles Johnson. If you're playing daily formats, Charles Johnson didn't have a huge week this past week. But I think that means it's going to be a little under-owned on your FanDuels and your DraftKings. You pair him with Teddy Bridgewater, I think you could be a little bit flexible with your lineup and have a nice little underpriced duo.
All right, well, with the season winding down, it's time to give out our Fantasy Spin Awards here on the Fantasy Spin. Joe, let's start with MVP. Who do you got?
It's
got
to be Le'Veon Bell, Bo. People are already asking who's the number one pick in fantasy next year, and it's been obvious to me. You know, last year we had that debate. Is it going to be LeSean McCoy? Is it going to be Jamaal Charles? Is it going to be Matt Forte? I think it's pretty clear heading into next year, barring anything unforeseen, Le'Veon Bell is going to be the number one pick in fantasy next year. And my favorite stat is that if you just take Le'Veon Bell's receiving production, he's number two in the NFL in rushing, but if you just take his receiving production on the year in a PPR league, he is currently a number three wide receiver in a 12-team league. He would be number 33 in total fantasy points as a receiver in PPR leagues. That is unbelievable production. So you're essentially getting two starters for the price of one with Le'Veon Bell. That is exactly what you want to see in a number one overall fantasy back. He's young, he's talented, he plays in a solid offense. I would have no qualms about taking Le'Veon Bell number one overall. He is the fantasy MVP for this year.
All right, well, on the other side, how about the biggest bust? First round pick maybe who just did nothing.
There was a couple of guys who underachieved, but only one guy who really was a total bust, and that was Monty Ball of the Denver Broncos.
Lucky me. I had him on like three teams.
And I would have taken him on like three teams as well, Bo. The logic was sound. The logic was this guy is playing running back in a Peyton Manning offense. He's going to fall into the end zone by accident 10 times. The problem was he got injured. And then you realize that it was a position where guys who weren't special talents can really produce. So Ronnie Hillman was the next man up. He produced. Then he got hurt. Then it was C.J. Anderson. He produced. We saw Juwan Thompson at times go in there and produce. And while Monty Ball, I'm not writing him off as a guy who could be fantasy relevant sometime in the future, you just got to be careful because if he's a guy who's going to be consistently injured or he's going to fumble, they will just take him out and put somebody else in. Monty Ball was the guy who probably ruined more fantasy seasons than any other first round, second round fringe pick.
Thank you very much, Monty. Thank you for your help on my teams. All right, how about a guy who was a late rounder or maybe undrafted? Who was the biggest sleeper for the season?
It's Justin Forsett, and it tells you how crazy the running back position is. And you're going to be hearing a lot of people next year touting, Bo, the zero RB theory, essentially meaning you just take a bunch of wide receivers, maybe a tight end or a quarterback if you like the value for an elite guy at the position. And essentially the theory says just go get your running backs in the late rounds and pay attention to the waiver wire. And Justin Forsett, he was actually, in my opinion, in contention for fantasy MVP if you looked at where he was drafted, which typically was undrafted, based on his level of production. He's been a top 10 rusher in the NFL for a guy who's nearly 30. The only problem for Justin Forsett, his production has dried up the last couple weeks, and averaging only about 2 yards a carry over his last two games, really an unfortunate end of the season for a guy who carried a lot of fantasy teams to the playoffs.
Our waiver wire pickup of the year, also the runaway rookie of the year, a player who the Eagles will have to contend with on Sunday.
It's Odell Beckham Jr., without a doubt. Bo, in PPR leagues, he's number 8 among wide receivers in total points. He missed the first 4 games of the year. That's total points, not just points per game. He's number 2 in points per game behind only Antonio Brown. And with a big game or maybe a smaller game for Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham's going to finish the year as the number one wide receiver. The guy's already in contention for being a first-round pick next year. We'll see how I feel about that in July and August, but Odell Beckham is the runaway rookie of the year and the runaway waiver wire pickup of the year. He is a guy who not just carried your team to the playoffs, he's a guy who carried your fantasy team in the playoffs. He was a monster over the last 2 months.
All right, last one, Joe. Who are you keeping an eye on as a potential breakout candidate in 2015?
There's a couple of running backs that I'm going to keep an eye on. Number one is Carlos Hyde of the San Francisco 49ers. Bo, I thought he was the most talented three-down type of back in the NFL draft. He didn't get as much of a shot to contribute in San Francisco as I wanted him to this year. As a matter of fact, I think the 49ers didn't play offense as well as they wanted to in general, which probably hurt Carlos Hyde's stock. They're going to get a new coaching staff in there, it looks like, but I would think they'd want to hold on to Carlos Hyde as Frank Gore is aging. You also want to keep an eye on Christian Michael in Seattle. A couple times this year, Marshawn Lynch has essentially hinted that he doesn't expect to be back in Seattle. That would give Christian Michael, really talented back out of Texas A&M, the first shot at taking over that job. And also at wide receiver, keep an eye on Dante Moncrief of the Indianapolis Colts. If you got him in a keeper league, you're going to want to consider hanging on to him. I think Reggie Wayne is done. They should have given him snaps over Hakeem Nicks months ago. I think Dante Moncrief and T.Y. Hilton are going to be an unbelievable 1-2 punch in the future for the Indianapolis Colts.
All right, well, Joe, I think I can speak for all the fans of Fantasy Spin out there when I say you're the real MVP.
Thank you, Bo.
Joe Dolan of FantasyGuru.com, the managing editor. Follow him on Twitter at FG_Dolan, and we'll see you next year.
All right, we welcome you back. You had some time with Bob Papa. The Giants are a surging team at the end of the season.
Yes, three straight wins for the New York Football Giants, but they are not going to make the playoffs for the third straight season. So what does that mean for the future of head coach Tom Coughlin? I'll go behind enemy lines with Bob Papa, the voice of the New York Football Giants, to discuss that and the electric rookie Odell Beckham Jr. That's coming up next on Eagles 360.
I sup to Philly.
I sup to Philly.
The bus.
The trolley.
The train.
Jefferson Station.
Airport line.
69th Street.
Broad Street.
To the game.
Paoli.
Sharon Hill.
Chestnut Hill.
Regional Rail.
I sup to Philly.
The Broad Street line on game days.
A la bodega.
To the movies.
To my parkway.
Spring Garden.
Late night.
West Philly.
South Philly.
North Philly.
Section 512, row 6, seats 7 through 10. Those are our seats.
At this one time we can't be there, please treat them right.
To get there early, stay late, and yell a whole lot.
Dress warm, gloves, hats, warm boots.
Eric sits in the middle. Uncle Paul sits on the aisle.
And if you want to sit in my seat, make sure you get your ticket from the only place a fan can trust.
Buy and sell 100% verified, authentic tickets with other true fans. Only on NFL Ticket Exchange. Tickets from one fan to another.
Hey, Eagles fans!
When the Eagles win,
you win!
Score a free Dunkin' Donuts medium hot or iced coffee the day after an Eagles win with the Dunkin' mobile app.
Eagles win,
you win!
Go Eagles!
America runs on Dunkin'.
Dunkin' Donuts is helping more area youth get in the game through the Touchdowns for Kids program. For every Philadelphia Eagles touchdown, Dunkin' Donuts will donate $250 to Good Sports, bringing new equipment and resources to youth sports organizations in need throughout the greater Philadelphia region.
Well, Eagles fans, it's time to go behind enemy lines here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, and we bring in the voice of the New York Football Giants, one Bob Papa. And Bob, the obvious question when looking at this Giants football team is, how impressed have you been calling the games with Odell Beckham, the rookie sensation at wide receiver, and the way that he's performing?
Chris, it's been incredible because I can't remember a rookie for the Giants coming in and having this kind of impact. I mean, he missed most of the off-season workout stuff. He missed almost all of training camp. He didn't play in any of the five preseason games. And even his first week of regular season action, which was week five, he didn't practice all that much that week. And he caught a touchdown pass on a route he had never run with Eli Manning in his first ever game. So it's been absolutely incredible. And knowing that every team is coming in trying to stop him, because it's not like they have a lot of other weapons, yet they still can't. It's really been dominant and shocking, to be honest with you.
So back in week six, the Eagles were able to shut out the Giants. It was the Eagles' first shutout since back in 1996. What has been the biggest difference in the Giants' offense since that first meeting? Is it simply Odell Beckham Jr., or is it a higher comfort level with the Giants' new offensive scheme?
I think it's a little bit more of a comfort level with the new offensive system, but I think it's really the maturation of Odell Beckham Jr., because if you remember it in the game at Lincoln Financial Field, that was the game in which the Giants lost Victor Cruz for the season, and he was their go-to guy. Odell was still kind of working his way into the mix, and he's gotten better over the course of time. He's starting to understand the offense, and they found very creative ways to get the ball in his hand with this new scheme.
Bob, the Giants are on a three-game win streak. The Eagles have lost three straight games and put themselves out of playoff contention. What is turning things around for Giants in the month of December?
Well, I mean, they've played some lousy teams. Let's not kid ourselves here. I mean, they had Tennessee and Jacksonville. They lost the Jacksonville game. And then they beat Washington. And, hey, they went to St. Louis and they beat a Rams team that has been playing great defense over the last 7 weeks. So you look at that and you say that's a feather in your cap. But they've had to use a lot of different guys. They've got the most guys on injured reserve of any team in the league. And I think some of the players that have been force-fed over the last 6 or 7 weeks are finally starting to get it a little bit and understand what NFL play is all about. So, you know, I think they're playing with a little bit more confidence. And, again, I go back to Odell Beckham Jr. He sparks the entire team, both offensively and defensively.
What is your gut feeling, Bob, about the status of Tom Coughlin moving toward next season, especially with all the change that has happened there in New York this season? Do you feel he's done enough to maintain his job and to remain with the team in 2015?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, the one thing about Coach Coughlin is his team always fights, and, you know, they've battled here down the stretch, and, you know, they've had a chance to win every game. There's only two games this year that they didn't have a chance to win, and that was the Eagles game and the opener against Detroit. Coughlin's a really good coach. I mean, one of the things is he's been hamstrung by some of the talent. I mean, they've had a bunch of guys that have not produced to the level that they would have expected. They've had all kinds of offensive line issues all year long. They've never been able to settle on a group. And I think Coughlin's been able to work his way around it, which has been pretty impressive.
Bob, in your estimation, looking a little bit to the future now, what do you think is the biggest need for the Giants to handle? Obviously, they've got Odell Beckham Jr. He's a star there. What other pieces do they need to put the Giants back in contention next season?
They've got to fix the offensive line. I mean, they've taken steps in the right direction over the last 2 years by drafting Justin Pugh in the first round last year and then taking Weston Richburg in the second round this year. But they still got some holes on that offensive line. They've got to get better. They've got to get younger, stronger, more powerful so they can run the ball better. And the other thing they have to do is they've got to improve their pass rush. Let's not let the sack totals over the last 4 or 5 weeks mislead anybody. In the games that mattered, in their six-game stretch, at Philadelphia, at Dallas, home against Indianapolis, at Seattle, home again against Dallas, you know, the Giants in that stretch, Jason Pierre-Paul had no sacks. And you can't win when the guy who's supposed to get you a lot of sacks gets shut out over that stretch. So they've got to find a way to get a more consistent pass rush.
Bob, last question for you. You and Merrill Reese, two of the best play-by-play radio announcers in the business. You know, looking at this rivalry, because there are no playoff implications, what are some of your favorite memories of the Eagles-Giants series?
You know, from a Giant perspective, you know, when the Giants beat the Eagles down at Lincoln Financial Field, I think it was in 2006, they had sacked Eli Manning 8 times in the first half, and the Giants came back and won in overtime. He threw a touchdown pass to Plaxico Burress. The 2000 divisional playoff game when Jason Sehorn made one of the great plays of all time. But one of the ones that jumps out to me more than anything, forget about my youth and the fumble and that whole thing. But I remember doing the post-game show in 1988, and it was a rainy, cold day at Giants Stadium, and the Giants actually blocked what was going to be a game-winning field goal by the Eagles in overtime, and then Clyde Simmons picked up the ball and rumbled like 25 yards for a touchdown off a blocked field goal, and I'll never forget that because it was like, wow, you did everything right, and you still lost the game.
Bob Papa, the voice of the New York Football Giants. Thank you very much for taking us behind enemy lines here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
You can't find a great doctor just anywhere.
Sure you can.
Specialists?
Yep.
Primary care?
You bet.
Jefferson Doctors?
Take a look at this.
Excellent doctors, lots of locations. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW.
Wow, that's a good number.
1-800-JEFF-NOW? It sure is.
I meant a good number of doctors.
I meant a good number for doctors.
I've got a feeling this could go on for a while.
No, it can't. You'll interrupt the announcer.
Find a Jefferson doctor. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
Hi, my name is Rhonda. I've worked for Acme Markets for 30 years. Here at Acme, community means everything to us. Prices have never been better.
Going up and down the aisles, I do get a lot of compliments when the lower prices.
Your store looks great. I love the people. I love the shop here.
I just think people are definitely seeing a change and seeing that it's getting better with Acme. And it's not just the prices. It's the customers that are coming here talking it up. Come on in. Check us out.
We're back.
Sports Authority is proud to be the official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. We welcome you back. Now, no Eagles 360 on Christmas Eve or on Christmas Day. We're back on Friday at 5 p.m. We'll have coverage of the Christmas Eve training session here. The Eagles players and coaches will get their work in on Christmas Eve, preparing for the, regretful to say, the season finale on Sunday. We thank you for joining us today on Eagles 360 for Chris McPherson. I'm Dave Spadaro. Have yourselves a great Eagles day and a very Merry Christmas.